Hello, everyone. I'm Alex, and I'm here with my husband, Shane, and we are so glad you could join us for happy hour on this Family Tree podcast, episode 200.
200 episodes. Wow, we've made it.
Shane, I was thinking right before we started recording, I was looking at myself in the bathroom, like, episode 200, and I was real excited for it. And then I was like, you know, do you remember those early, early days when we first started? And yeah, you were a podcaster. You'd been a podcaster for 5 years before that. But I just remember being so nervous, and you'd have to give me a pep talk before every episode to be like, Alex, you're good on the mic. You can do this, and had to remind me. And I'd get so terrified. And I just like looking at everything we've done, everything we've talked about up till now.
Well, you were much better at me back then, and you're much better than me. I need elocution lessons. Is that what I need?
Yeah, that's the word.
But I can't speak properly, and I can't get my thoughts out of my head through my mouth properly. So you're good at that.
You're a great storyteller, and I think that's where your strengths lie the most. You're so good at that, and I think that listeners of this podcast through the last 200 episodes have seen that, and I think that's why we get some coming back, babe.
Oh, okay.
Some Shaniacs over here.
I think because I'm a bad storyteller, maybe that's why I try extra hard to make it as clear as possible. And I do notice when other people are telling bad stories because that's such an insecurity of mine. And you know when you see somebody at a party and they're kind of acting like you and then you don't like them because everyone secretly is annoyed by themselves?
Yes.
That's what happens to me with a bad storyteller because I recognize that I am a bad storyteller.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because like they're trying to like be you and people want to secretly be unique.
No, I just spot all of my bad qualities in other people and it extra annoys me. But anyways, have we been consistent with this podcast over this 200 episode run? Absolutely not. But most people would have given up. People would have thrown in the towel. They say, listen, I can't be consistent with this podcast. Why even do it? We say, why? Because we want to.
Well, it's like therapy, this podcast. It's a fun time, Shane, that we get to sit here and we get to chat, work things out, make connections with the people that somehow listen on the other side of this microphone. And honestly, it's seen us through some of the craziest times of the history of our lives, like through the life-changing pandemic, through us having a miscarriage, another baby, everything. And we've been through a lot on this.
What was your favorite moment in the last 200 episodes?
My favorite moment in the last 200 episodes? I really loved interviewing Jillian Harris.
Yeah, that was a good moment. That was nerve-wracking before. Because if you remember the day we went to record that, there was all this construction work going on outside our house. And you know when cars back up, it's like beep, beep. But the beeping wouldn't stop. So we had to move to the kitchen. Yes. But obviously the acoustics in a kitchen are so weird and echoey.
Major pregnant.
What does that mean?
I was like heavily pregnant at the time. Giving birth a week later.
Dang. Yeah, but we did it and it was fun and she was nice. And she reposted us and said, this is one of the best interviews I've ever done, which obviously made that episode blow the heck up.
I also really loved, it's not one moment, but several moments. I really loved our date night episodes where we'd simply open up a bottle of wine, read the tasting notes, talk about the wine for the first 5 minutes, and then just get into goofy relationship questions. They were so much fun. And honestly, doing that episode, like I said, this thing is like therapeutic and it's fun just to be with you and talk like this. But that was a blast.
Yeah, I loved doing those. Physically, it ripped me apart.
Yeah.
Just doing that every Wednesday and just eating so much food because we would really have at it with the food and the wine. But it was fun. And I do look at it and I miss it.
Yeah, no, I agree. But do you have a favorite moment?
I don't know. We've had so many laughs and so many, you know, arguments too.
I know, I was thinking about
both that. On the mic and off the mic. Having Simon Rex, that's pretty cool.
Oh, that was amazing.
Simon Rex was someone growing up. He was one of like from the Scary Movie series. We do a family podcast. How do you get an actor like that on a family podcast? Mm-hmm. But we were able to pull it off. And then like a month later, he got this huge movie called Red Rocket. And kind of now he'd be impossible to get.
He's going
to
be in everything now. Like he's getting cast with the most A-list people
in
movies.
He's in a movie with Meryl Streep right now.
Yes.
We got Dr. Drew on. That was fun.
Dr. Drew was fun.
But yeah, we've just done so much, and I'm looking forward to the next 200 episodes.
Hell yeah, and we got big plans for those next 200.
What are the big plans?
Well, I have a table sitting on our porch right now. It's been there for 3 months because I'm waiting to set it up. I can't do it alone. It's hard, and we've had so many things happening. But now that, you know, Shane's show is over, it's called Bulges, just came out on Crave if you're from Canada.
So the show is not called Bulges.
Oh, right.
Just to make it clear, the show is called St. Bulges Day, and it's a St. Patrick's Day special. What's good about St. Patrick's Day, I think, for a TV special, is that it's kind of evergreen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could watch a St. Patrick's Day movie, like a St. Patrick's Day theme movie in May.
Yeah.
And still be interested, I would like to think. So that's the hope, that even though, yes, St. Patrick's Day has passed, you can still watch it, and hopefully it doesn't matter, because outside of your 20s, who gives a shit?
Yeah. But I will say, so now that all that is out, we can kind of get into a period of relative normalcy and everything like that. I mean, we're going to redo the basement, I think, within the next, not redo. When I say redo, I mean finish it. Because we have like a very old house. Our house is like 120 years old, maybe 125. And our basement is just an old house basement. So we're going to do that. And we're going to make like a little corner of there where we just always have an awesome recording set up. But in the interim, I bought a curtain, one of those white back curtains. I got a table and I got some chairs. And we are going to start doing a setup because I really loved when we'd be able to put out little video of our podcasts. I think that was a great way to get engagement. I think there was so much interest. We could share it around more. And it's funny. Like, when I'm watching something, I do personally like to see the people's faces when they're talking and their expressions. And like, you and I both look like hell right now. Would that add to it? We're both in our jammies. We're cozy. Does it add or take away? I don't know. But I want to
experiment. I look like hell?
We don't look like hell. I was exaggerating. But we are both in our jammies.
Jesus.
What do you call those that you're wearing?
I'm not saying they're not jammies. I just feel terrible about myself.
No, you look good. Your face looks good. But yeah, no, I think that there's lots of exciting stuff. And I really am excited to keep doing this because I really do love it.
Nice. I would say, though, Alex, come up with a plan, like a real plan.
Yes.
Because for the listeners at home, Alex, sometimes I'll give her a little pep talk. I'll say, you know, let's get going. Let's really put an effort in this podcast. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, she's on the phone with her dad. Dad, bring the table over. Next thing I know, her dad is on our porch with a big table, pulling it out himself, throwing it on the porch. And then that table has... This actually happened. That table's been out on our porch for 2 months.
Well, because you were like, what's your plan with the table? But I was going to go and set it up right away.
Then do it.
I'm the type of person where I need to do something where when I have the excitement, or else it won't get done, because then other things take precedence.
Do it.
And I need to get better at that.
I double dare you. I've dared you a million times. Make a new theme song. Come up with a new name for the podcast. Get that table. Do it. That's why Just Do It is such a popular tagline.
Thanks, Nike.
Yeah. No, so honestly, right. I dare you, Alex, to just do it.
I just need help. That's the thing. Like, I'm not good. I'm not a person who's good at doing things solo.
I'm trying to help you. And my biggest help to you is come up with a blueprint.
I need you to be excited about the blueprint with me, though. Like, I need somebody to be like, yeah, this, yeah,
woo. I've been excited about it for over 100 episodes. Over 100. Do it, Alex. Seriously. Don't laugh it off.
I'm not serious. I'm going to Nike it. Shane.
I'm serious, though.
I'm serious,
You're
too,
just
though.
Laughing no, nervously.
I'm serious. I'm serious, too. Okay. Just as serious
Do you think I know how to get results?
Yes.
Okay. Well, listen to me.
All right.
You can really get things going. Doing a video promo on a podcast, that's very difficult.
I know.
So you have to get an infrastructure in place to make that happen.
Well, my infrastructure was going to be delegating it and saying, Shane, how do we make this happen?
And then... I will tell you.
Okay, good. Well, our editor has some free time come up, so I don't know if that helps.
Who's our editor?
Erica. I don't know. Like, does she do that? Do you do that? Do I do that? I can't do it. I know that.
Well, we need to have a meeting about it. But honestly, we can really get things going if we want to.
Hell and yeah,
that,
I want to.
That's something I'd like to think for the next 200 episodes we make a goal to really be consistent with the podcast, because that's important. If you really want to gain a following and make that following... be happy or you know, depend on you.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I can't listen to a podcast when I don't know when the episode's coming out.
No, I hear you. I agree with you. And babe, I'm on it. I'm as serious as I was trying to think of the most serious person. King Charles? Who's more serious than that? That guy doesn't have fun.
I don't know King Charles that much.
Yeah, he's a loser. But anyway, I'm serious. And I'm as serious about that as I am about having fun. And I will say, I wanted to talk a little bit about, so St. Patrick's Day just passed. And we kind of went all out for St. Patrick's Day this year because of Shane's show, his TV show that was released, St. Patrick's Day theme. And it was kind of funny to me because Shane's never been really like a St. Patrick's Day kind of guy.
But, yes, I was.
Well, not now.
Who in their 40s is a St. Patrick's Day person? I guess the people we saw last night. But
yes.
I mean, those weren't normal people.
No, but the people that like the music or Irish people, because we did go to the Irish Canadian Club. And all those people are very wholeheartedly into St. Patty's, and they were different than the bar crowd. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's more patriotic, I guess.
Yeah.
Even though it's weird. Every Irish person tells me, you know, in Ireland, it's not that big of a deal. It's more religious or something.
Yeah.
But it seems like I saw the footage I saw in Ireland, they're going wild out over there. So I don't know if that's just they're self-conscious about it or what.
But I will say, I had so much fun doing it with the kid. And like, even the kids, like Lucy had made this leprechaun trap 2 weeks ago, but it was, sorry, not a trap, because people, I guess online, kids make leprechaun traps, but Lucy's kind-hearted. She's like, why would we trap it? So we got into this conversation about it.
Well, she changed her tune. And for the first hour of the day, it was a trap. Then she realized the word trap seems very evil.
Yeah.
And then anytime I called it a trap, I was reprimanded because it's a house. It's like a play area for the leprechaun.
She made him a pool full of beads to like go hang out. And she put lights inside of it. She put gold inside of it because she knows all the things leprechauns like. And we left them a note saying, hey, dear leprechauns, come and play. We promise this is not a trap. It's super fun. So, you know, I didn't know, like, was I supposed to do anything with that? Do we just leave it? But then Lucy was telling me, she's like, mommy, I have a feeling the leprechauns are going to leave us a thank you note. So I was like, oh, damn, really? Okay. So I was like, so I got to make the thank you note. And then last week on Friday, when we took them to daycare, the daycare went all out for St. Patrick's Day. And they had these little tiny leprechaun footprints all over the daycare leading up to the toilets. And then in the toilets, Shane, what did they have?
Green piss.
Green piss. And the kids were going bonkers. Like, I dropped off Betty into her room and all the kids run up to me. They go, Betty's mommy, the leprechauns peed in the potty. And I was like, what is this? But they loved it so much that, I mean, this morning, guys, when we went to bed last night, I went and put green food coloring in the potty to make it look like leprechauns came here, pissed, and didn't flush.
Okay, so leprechauns like green, but they themselves aren't green. They just wear a lot of green clothing. So, like, under this logic, does Santa piss red?
He has a urinary disease.
Like, you just piss the color of clothing you wear? What's the logic?
The Easter Bunny, like pastel blue?
Yeah. But why does a leprechaun piss green?
Maybe it's all that green beer he's drinking.
Oh, the leprechaun's drinking beer.
Why not?
Green beer. I guess that makes sense. You know, that's a very good answer.
Well, it doesn't, like, none of it makes sense. But you know what? I ended up doing it. I was like, am I going to be the type of person who has leprechauns peeing in the house while we're sleeping? And ultimately, it's like, yeah, I do want to be that person because that is truly, it's so ridiculous that I find it very hilarious.
And Lucy loved it. She was so into it.
Yes.
She wanted to, she's like, so the leprechaun used our printer because it's printed out. She's like, let's investigate your office and see
she
if.
She said that?
Yeah. And we went into the office and every little thing was a clue to her. And
that was so
funny. Like, was this here before? So yeah, I don't know if she truly believes or if she just thinks it's a fun game to pretend she believes, because she is almost six.
Yeah.
And to me that is, but maybe it's just that seed of doubt thing where you just like, okay, maybe it doesn't, but maybe it does. And that's kind of fun to believe in that type of scary magic that is a leprechaun being in your house.
Well, it's so fun. It's so fun. And truly, I love it so much too. And I was thinking about it. I'm like, in this way, parenting with the mindset of a kid in doing these things, it's like, yeah, I'm going to make the leprechaun pee in the potty. Like that kind of thing. I think it's so silly, but there is so much joy in it. Because like, not only is Lucy and Betty, not only are they super happy, But I'm laughing as I'm putting the food coloring in the potty to make it look like green pea. Yeah. And it's like,
well, you were drunk.
We had a couple Guinness. But it's honestly just super fun. And I was saying, because Shane and I were watching, we went away. It's my birthday on the March 20th. So we went away over the weekend for a one-nighter, really beautiful. But we were watching The Social at one point, like a Canadian talk show. And they were talking about a TikToker who went viral because they said they don't play with their kids. And when they're, for years, they just said no to their kids every time their kids asked them to play. And now their kids play independently. And they're like, would I have that if I said no to them every time they asked me? So they have a rule that adults don't play in that house. And honestly, when I was thinking about like the leprechaun pee and play, and I think, you know, a lot of us like set a parenting boundary to protect our own mental health. But I think it could also sometimes be good for our mental health to go into parenting with a lighter attitude and like put green food coloring in your potty.
I wouldn't say that's playing though. Well, I don't think the parent who doesn't play with their kid is saying no to leprechaun piss necessarily.
Not necessarily, no. She said she does things that she personally likes.
Yeah. I don't hate that rule. It sounds meaner than it is, I think. Because when I think about it, we don't really play with our kids.
No, we do. We do stuff. And I think we're actually similar to the TikTok, because I was reading her thing and she's like, I'm not saying I don't engage with them in a lot of ways. We do science experiments. We do baking. We play outside. We go to parks. We go on walks. And it's like, that's the same thing we do. But I will play. Like if they want to build Lego with me, or if Betty brings me a plate of food, I'm going to pretend to eat it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I'll engage for like a minute or so. But after that, it's like, beat it. But, you know, if she wants me to flip her around or do gymnastic stuff, I'll play with that way. We'll go out. I'll push her on the swing. But there's just a certain level of play that I can't, breaking out the Barbies and stuff. It's like, you can do that.
But if they ask me, I'm not, like, if they really want to do it, I'm not saying no. Oh, if
they really, really want to.
Yeah.
But in general, I think they're fairly perceptive.
And I think they just don't want, they don't even play that way much.
No.
Like, when they play, it's often in a way that is easy for us to join in or that whatever. Like, but if they want to really bad, I'm not saying no.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go into it with just a little more lightheartedness. But I do think that there is a lot of fun for, not only for kids, obviously for your kids, but I think that parenting sometimes, if you go into it with more of like a childlike mindset yourself, and I think that's hard for a lot of people, but I think that it is so worth it. And I think it could benefit you so much, and it could be good for your mental health so much to just have more fun with things. I think people take things really seriously a lot of the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't know. I'm not really around serious people. I guess working in comedy.
But, yeah, it's different.
And I avoid people like the plague. So so I don't talk to anyone. So I don't know. I'm always assuming people are mean, though. So, and you're telling me they are, which makes me want to talk to people less.
Not mean, but just serious.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to be with the podcast, you know? Like, just
you're trying serious. To be serious on the mic?
Not serious on the mic. I'm trying to be serious about our plan, Dingus.
Oh, you have to be serious behind. Yeah. I don't. Behind you can still scenes. Have fun with a plan. Like, I have a lot of fun when I'm planning out the show and I'm planning.
I love planning.
Oh my goodness. If you love planning, I'd hate to see someone who hates planning.
I love planning if I have somebody that's having fun with the plans with me. Like, nice idea, Alex. High five. You're the best, Alex. Great, great thinking. I need a yes person.
Alex, you need a plan to start the plan. You ever said, Shane, will you sit down with me and help me? Would I ever say no?
No, you would say yes, like a good parent.
Yeah, but you never do that.
Okay. Shane, will you sit down with me at some point this week? I will plan on the day that we'll sit to plan, and then we're going to sit down and talk about the plan. Because I have not a full plan, but I have an inkling of a plan, and I just need help developing it.
Because I need you to understand. Okay, remember when the pandemic happened, and I took this podcast by the reins.
Oh, you did?
And made it a 3-hour long podcast with 2 guests per episode and had 8 sponsors on
her. It was the best, yes.
Do you remember that time?
Yes.
But now I'm working on multiple TV shows. I'm back to working my full-time job. So I don't want to set the precedent of taking this by the reins. You have to take it by the reins, and I will be your partner. So why are your eyes bulging?
Because
why is that shocking?
I'm not on mat leave anymore.
Alex, you're taking 2 days off work to just focus on the podcast.
And Instagram.
Okay. and Instagram. So we make this part of your social media plan.
Yes.
And
yes.
If you take an hour out of this time to work on the podcast on those 2 days of the week, mm-hmm. that will add up.
It adds up.
And that will help.
You're right. I got to think of a way. I got to plan a way to make the plan fit into a schedule and plan that. I got to plan my life so that everything fits in mm-hmm. and I also can get workout time in, because I find that it's hard for me to get
just
everything in, including rest time, by the way, because I like resting at night.
You tend to like reasons why you find reasons why you can't do something.
It makes me nervous.
Try to find reasons why you can and how you can.
It's because, you know what? When I look at things without writing it down, without taking the first step towards it, I get super anxious and I just start thinking, oh my God, this is going to be so hard. And then it feels overwhelming. Yes. And then the overwhelm takes over and it makes taking the first step very difficult because I just get so flustered.
That's why you need to plan to plan and then plan. And that's why, because I'm the worst at planning. I am the worst at organization.
Yeah.
That is why I work so hard at doing it, because I'm bad. And it's like storytelling. You said I was a good storyteller. Mm-hmm. I'm such a bad storyteller that I work on it to try to make the stories better.
Okay. I need to reframe a prior claim I made on this episode.
What?
I said I love to plan. I think I love to plan vacations, not necessarily other things. So I think I love to plan certain things and not other things. So I need to begin to love to plan other things because I find them hard. So I need to not be so scared.
Mm-hmm. And I would fully be on board if I wasn't working on TV shows.
I know. And I'm super here, and it's a catch 22 because I'm like super stoked that you're working on TV shows and it's super awesome and they're great and it helps our family. But then I also, I flounder a little bit without you, babe.
I've noticed. That's what I'm just, you know, on the mic here, captive you without you getting upset with me. Because off the mic, you know, this could escalate.
Get out.
Okay.
Boy, start breaking plates. It escalates. Here's how it escalates. It escalates into me going silent and looking off into the distance because I get too overwhelmed when it comes to arguing and
no,
I get nervous and don't know what to say.
You just say, I know.
I know.
I know. And then I'm like, well, if you know, you do it. I know.
That's the escalation he's talking about. But Shane, let's get into the questions. Let's get into episode 200's questions. What do you think?
Let's do it.
All right.
Oh, okay. Alex gave me the tell them what the question segment is. So this is the mailbag segment. This is where we get you, the listener, to write in questions and then Alex answers them.
And Shaney.
Yeah, I contribute too.
All right. The first question we got. Thoughts on Kelly Osbourne changing her son's surname after a fight with her baby daddy. So Kelly Osbourne has a child with a guy from Slipknot. So they got into a massive fight, I guess, the biggest fight they've ever gotten into, allegedly, because the son has the father's, or the kid, I don't know if it's son or daughter, but I think it's son, has the father's last name. The father is, I guess, a really traditional English guy and really thinks that that's how it should be.
Really traditional? He's in Slipknot.
I know.
He walks around with a scary mask.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, if you can do that, why not take concessions if it means a lot to your partner? And then Ozzy Osbourne was even like, Kelly grew the baby inside of her and the kid can't have her last name. Like, that's kind of bonkers. Anyway, they got in a fight, they went to all this therapy, and then they ended up giving the kid the Slipknot last name and the Osbourne last name. It's a tongue twister, Shane.
Yeah.
And so now the kid's got the double-barreled last name. But personally, like, I mean, I think it's kind of crazy that if she was so for it and so wanted that, I think it's crazy to me that he wasn't okay with that. Do you know what I mean? Like, if one partner is so wanting that, what harm is it doing to you?
Well, it seems like he so wanted it too.
Yeah, but his name is still there. It's not like you're omitting his name.
No, I think he so wanted it to be solely his name.
Mm-hmm. But I think she's, you know, the alternative is that her name is completely omitted. It's not like his name would ever be completely omitted. Yeah, so I think it's a good compromise.
I guess it's her name because her father... She took her father's last name, Kelly mm-hmm. Osbourne. And if Kelly Osbourne's mom wanted whatever her maiden name was, if she wanted to fight for that, then yep. She'd be a hyphenate And then it's almost like, where does the hyphenation end?
That's actually a good question. And I want to know if there's somebody with like 14 hyphenated names.
I think there is. And I think in some cultures, that's a thing where you just keep going and it's a really long name. And then, you know, if you were ever to put it on a birth certificate, the birth certificate would be quite long, but you find a way to just cut the bullshit and tell someone, oh, yes, my last name's quite long, but you can call me this. You
know? Plus, I guess a kid can change their name when they're 18 or whatever and like choose kind of what they want.
Yeah, I think the hope is just let's streamline this process. Let's make it easy. This is the established rule. Are we down for this established rule? Yes or no? And that's kind of my view. I'm always looking to simplify things.
Yeah, but I think that if I was felt super strongly about having my last name on the birth certificate, we'd find some kind of compromise.
Sure, yeah. But I don't know. I'm like, I have trouble writing. I hate that my last name's so long. Like every time I'm on the Apple TV and I have to type my email, it's like Shane.Cunningham. I'm like, I almost don't even want to watch the TV show. I'm trying to sign in for Vanderpump Rules on the Hey You. And I have to type in my long password and my stupid long name. I just wish I had like, you know, something easy.
Oh, I hear you. My name is 18 letters and it's my email.
Yeah.
Alexandra.Lamparsky.
Cunningham Lamparsky. And I know you're one of the proudest people of their last name. You're like, I'm a Lamparsky. I keep my Lamparsky.
Why the hell not?
Well, that's your dad's last name.
Yeah.
And I'm saying if your parents fought in that way for it and your mom kept her maiden name, you're proud because your dad went with the tradition and has your last name.
Yeah, but I'm not proud because it's my dad's name. I'm proud because it's my family name.
Because it's your dad's last name.
But though. What if they broke tradition and used Harvey, which is my mom's last name? I think I'd still be super proud. You know what I mean?
And your dad still kept his last name?
No, like if he took my mom's name.
Okay. And then, yeah, to me, it would just be confusing because you're just trying to eliminate confusion for me. That's being a family. It streamlines everything.
Yeah. Well, I personally, like, we're on the same page with this. And I think this is why we never had to have this chat because we both just wanted the same family name. And I was happy taking your name. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that just worked out. But I like having all of us with the same last name. Number one, just practicality. Like if we're traveling, I don't want there to be an issue if I'm trying to go over the border or something with the kids and they're like, why don't you have the same last name? Then you have to have all the birth certificates, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just don't want that kind of headache, but yeah.
Yeah. And that's just because it's a tradition. Let's say all of a sudden I take your last name and it's like Shane Lamparsky, then people don't know me because I'm in the minority of people doing this. Like maybe 1% of men in the world take that last name. And then people can't find me if they need me. And like, it's hard to.
But that happens with women too when they get married. It's like even women I know, I can't find them online. If they change their last name, I don't know what their names are.
I can find them because I go, oh, they probably got married. And then I just look for, and like it's harder. But my brain just goes, oh, they probably got married. Mm-hmm. If a man, all of a sudden, I can't find it, it's not in the norm that they changed their last name, you know, and maybe let's make it a thing if it has to be a thing. But I'm not some big traditionalist. I'm just saying for me.
Simplicity.
It causes more problems than not. And if it is so important, the name, it's like, why? Why is it so important that the woman has the name all of a sudden? Like, I don't get it. It's just the name. To me, it's just the path of least resistance is the way it's always been. In terms of the naming thing, I'm not like every tradition in the world. Let's still like, you know, spank our children and, you know, whatever. But I'm just saying in that way, it seems like it's just to simplify things.
It definitely keeps things simple. And I think that's why it's the way it is in the first place. But it definitely keeps things simple. But I think that, I mean, in Kelly Osbourne's situation, I'll hyphenate the name if she feels that strongly about it and she's like so devastated by not, like, I think if you want to be a good co-parent or partner, then be like, you know, let's make this compromise or whatever. And then if the kid wants to shorten it when they get older, they can.
Well, I would switch it actually if I was Osbourne. Like if I was married to Kelly Osbourne and she wanted Osbourne, I would say, okay, it makes more sense. People are already calling me Mr. Osborne.
Yeah.
Because she's so famous and that name is so famous. So for me, I wouldn't have a problem there. It'd be very easy.
I agree. And Slipknot's huge, but like, I don't know what you look like without the mask.
I don't know one guy in Slipknot.
That's the thing. Yeah. I don't know their name. It's like, we don't know what you look like. I don't know your name. So at least like given you married or you had a baby at least with Kelly Osborne, likely because she was Ozzy's daughter, at least that you met in some vein through that. You know what I mean? So it's like, man, he knows the power of that last name.
Why you don't think they'd be together if she wasn't famous?
I don't think she would have had the chance to meet the Slipknot guy.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
But do you think that's the only reason? Like, do you think he just wants that fame?
Oh, I think he likes having a baby with the daughter of the Dark Lord, Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah,
you're probably right. Baby comes out of the vagina just biting off bat heads.
That's imagery.
Okay, our next question. Taking a pivot. I'm struggling with getting my five-year-old to eat healthy food. They won't touch fruit or veggie. Do you have suggestions? Have they tried BAT? But no. Mm. Suggestions. Just different ways of serving food. Like a carrot is the most boring looking thing, but crinkle cut a carrot. And if you don't want to crinkle cut it yourself, you can buy pre-crinkle cutted carrots. Do that. Do baby carrots. Try roasting it. Just like all different ways of serving things. There's a million ways to serve one thing. Our kids, I feel very grateful right now because they just like plain old raw veggies and they don't really like them if they're cooked. So it's easy because we just buy like mini baby cute peppers, put them on their plate and they just eat them whole. Or baby carrots, whatever. Yeah. And that's kind of nice. But what do you suggest if their kids aren't?
I think I've explained to Lucy and Betty, which has worked, that we don't eat foods because we like them all the time. And so it's like being bored. Mm-hmm. Often Lucy and Betty will say, I'm bored. And I don't think that's the worst thing in the world as a parent. I say, being bored, there's nothing wrong with bored.
Yeah.
So Lucy and Betty know. If they say they're bored, that is not going to shock me into entertaining them because I am fine with them being bored. Mm-hmm. And if Lucy and Betty say, I don't like this, I say, that's fine. You're not eating it to like it. You're eating it to be strong. Mm-hmm. You want to be strong and healthy. And then I will pull up a picture of Danny DeVito from from the movie Batman Returns when he's the penguin. And I will say, this man did not eat his vegetables.
Works every time.
And Lucy understands that. Like today, I offered Lucy a cookie. She's like, Dad, that's not healthy. I need to eat something healthy.
Yeah.
And I go, well, how about a banana? She goes, I don't want to eat that. I go, okay, well, that's healthy though. We should eat a banana. Let's split it with me. Mm-hmm. And we split a banana today. And actually, she gave me way less than a fair share of the banana. She only gave me a little nub because she started liking the banana as she was eating it. So I think we got to get away with the fact that vegetables taste good because they don't really, especially compared to all the fruit snacks and things that kids are addicted to. Incentivize them maybe with like, you can have this tastier thing once you eat the thing that's healthier, and talk about the benefits. Mm-hmm. Really, like vegetables can make you strong, like, you know, better athlete, all those little things, which, you know, are exaggerations, but still there's truth in it. Mm-hmm. Eating healthy can make you stronger and have more energy. And Lucy and Betty really understand that. So that's what's worked for us.
Yeah. And I think, you know, sometimes we forget how much kids are able to learn and internalize. And if you tell them, like, you know, there's things called vitamins and nutrients and they're good for your body. And it's like, sometimes I'll tell Lucy that she needs to have something healthy to keep her brain awake at school and help her focus. So it's like physical, but also so much mental.
Yeah.
And, you know, sugar can make us really tired and it can make our brains like kind of sleepy and foggy. And we don't want that when we're at school. We don't want that when we're out playing with our friends necessarily. You know what I mean? So there's a time and a place for everything. And you can do it so easily. I think if you take that approach without demonizing certain kinds of foods or elevating one too high. But that's always worked. And yeah, little bribes have always worked too. And I know every parenting expert is like, don't bribe. But bribes have historically been lovely
for us. I don't know if I even consider it a bribe. It's just like a reward. Like you do this, you get that. Everything's reward-based. Yeah. You go to work, you get money. Like, is that a bribe? Like, I don't know. It seems equitable. It is almost annoying because sometimes if I really just want to feed Betty, she's like, that's not healthy. That's not healthy. And I can't find. Sometimes we don't have the healthiest foods. We try.
Well, the ones that they want.
Yeah. We're out of a plum, you know? So they really do understand what's healthy and what's not, though.
I will say one of our favorite go-to healthy things, because the kids seem to always want it, because it's like there's something that tastes like candy about it, but they love frozen mango. So we just buy cubed frozen mango and they go nuts for it. It's full of fiber. It's super healthy. They think it's the most delicious thing ever.
Yeah, frozen pineapple too.
Frozen pineapple, frozen grapes. If you get the cotton candy grapes and quarter them, put them in a bag in the freezer, they are the best treat on a hot summer day or anytime. But kids love that stuff. But the next question. We aren't finding out the gender of our baby. We want a surprise. Do more couples these days find out the gender, and why do you think that is? I think, yeah, lots of people find out the gender. And like in our case, we just, I'm attached to this thing growing inside of me. So I wanted to have some kind of idea of what it was going to be. And obviously, you know, I'm not putting a whole life onto my kid, but I just like having some kind of idea. And I like giving it a name, and I liked knowing, oh, this is going to be Betty because it's going to be a girl. And I loved having that kind of connection. It just deepened my bond throughout pregnancy, which was a hard and scary process. So for me, I loved just having that extra way to bond.
Yeah, for me, it's just about simplifying. Mm-hmm. It's goes back to the name thing. It's like, oh, let's just keep it simple. I don't know if there's an advantage to this. I don't know if I felt a deeper bond, but it certainly didn't hurt to know.
Yeah.
Like it did nothing to hurt, and it just quelled my curiosity. Because I'm the type of person, if I start The Sixth Sense and someone's like, want to flip to the ending, I'll be like, sure. I'm just curious. I don't know. I was opening Christmas presents like under my mom's bed. Like I'm just like that, where I want to know everything. I've had that kind of annoying thing about me where I can't wait. I'm giving you gifts days early. I just that's just how I am. I don't know. So I always want to know. I'm sure there are advantages. I've just never been the type of person to benefit from those advantages of not knowing.
Yeah. No, I hear you. And I'm the same. And I think there's fun in it too. I think there's so much fun in knowing.
Well, there's probably fun in waiting. Oh, if you're that type of person, just to me, it's more torture than fun.
Well, look, that for me too, I look at that day. It's like so much is happening anyway. I'm getting a baby that day. I don't need an extra surprise on top of it of like, you got a baby and it's a boy and it's a girl. Cause it's like the big surprise for me on that day is just getting the baby in my arms. You know what I mean? Like nothing's gonna top that for me. So I like to have, it's like planning a vacation, you know, talking a lot about planning. It's like, I like all those things. It adds to the fun for me, to the culmination of when you're actually going on the vacation. It's like, I love knowing the gender. I love having the name, and I love getting all these things ready for the big culmination of when that baby shoots out. Mm-hmm. And I like that. I was trying to hold it in, but I really have to go pee.
Okay.
Shane, I know that this is bathroom talk and might be TMI, but I just need to say that was one of the best pees that I've had since having kids. It was a strong stream for a full 11 seconds, nice. Which I've been working up to.
What color?
The perfect, you know, pale yellow.
Oh, nice.
But it was the stream and the length, because I used to, and before I started going to pelvic health therapy and everything like that, pelvic floor therapy, I was only having like 3-second pees once every 45 minutes. And it was
that's
awful.
Annoying.
It's so unhealthy. So they told me I needed to work on like holding it in and not allowing my bladder to send my brain signals too early, because that's what was happening. So like you got to start holding it in if it hasn't been 2 hours, and ensure that if your pees aren't 9 seconds long, like 9 Mississippis long, then you're going too early. Mm-hmm. But a length, it should be 9 seconds at least.
I didn't know that. That's for men and women?
Men and women.
Oh, I'm going to count that. Now I'm going to become obsessed with counting.
That's what I do.
Yeah, I think I pee a lot and too often.
So that was an 11-seconder.
Okay.
It was real good. Sorry, I'm real excited about that. That doesn't happen too often. Okay, so the next question I have. Have you heard of Happy Juice? Do you know about Happy Juice? Do you know about this?
No.
Okay, so I didn't know what it was either, and now I'm feeling like this person is trying to sell me something. I can't tell, but it's a frequent listener. I know this name. But I looked up Happy Juice, and it's like some kind of vitamin juice that it's supposed to give you, boost your productivity, like help your, it's kind of like Magic Mind, which okay. we've talked about on this podcast before.
Yeah.
So I think it's in that vein, but then it might also help with like weight loss somehow. Anyway, it's an MLM, like it's a marketed multi-level marketing company. So it's like they get people to buy it and then they get people, those same people to start selling it. And then you create your own team of people and all the money's always kind of filtering it through. So for that reason, I'd say go with Magic Mind if you're looking for something to help boost productivity, because that's not an MLM. You know what I mean? MLMs tend to, I think, prey on people in a way, because the vast majority of people lose a ton of money on MLMs. Only a few people end up making money, whether it's Arbonne, Happy Juice, or what else? Like, what else in MLM?
I don't know. I've never heard that acronym said so many times. MLM. Yeah. It's scary. I remember, I think years ago, my dad was like pitching me on something. He was like, what if you sold your friends soap or something? Like, it's like, no, that doesn't seem like something I'd be interested in. And my dad never seemed like that type of guy to
saying
that. So it scared me a little bit, but I think a lot of people are susceptible to it. Mm-hmm. Even if you think you're not, you just see someone who's profiting off it. You think, oh, that could be me. And then before you know it, you're selling your friend's deodorant and then they're not buying it. And then you're resenting them and you're not making money and your life falls apart. So yeah, MLM is no for me.
No. No for me too. And if I'm wrong about that, let me know. But that's what my research told me. All right. So this person wants to know what kind of childhood you had. This is a first time writer in her from what I can see. What kind of a childhood you had? I had a pretty standard childhood. And so let's make this just to give a little more substance to the question. How did it affect our parenting? What kind of childhood we had and how it affected our parenting? So mine, pretty typical. I was involved in lots of sports, had to do my homework every night after school. So like my parents were strict in some ways, but super lenient in a lot of other ways. They allowed me to like make a lot of my own mistakes and then I'd face the consequences. Like they would
What's childhood? Define childhood.
I guess I was making most of my mistakes as a teenager, but I had a happy childhood. And then when I started like making mistakes and things, they allowed me to
define childhood. What do we
as a kid? But now I'm, I guess, in my answer.
I'm asking for an age range.
Okay, from 0 to 16.
Okay, so that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, super happy childhood, and then as a teenager, super happy, but I think super typical teenager as well. Like going out and experimenting with drinking and then coming home and getting grounded for a long time and just lots of support. And I think that I like how that was done because I think I'm a smart adult in a lot of ways. Like I have a good head on my shoulders, I would say. And I feel comfortable in a lot of different situations. And I like that. And I try to bring a lot of that to my own parenting. There's things that I want to do differently. But in general, I want to try to give my kids the same kind of upbringing I had.
Okay. What's the question again? Sorry.
What kind of childhood you had and how that impacts your own parenting?
Oh, childhood. Okay. Yeah. I think I had a happy childhood. I played with my sister a lot. I just had a normal for me, constant anxiety throughout my childhood, which is somewhat similar to what Lucy is experiencing right now. I see a lot of similarities between Lucy and I. In terms of homework, there wasn't that much pressure on me to do homework. What I was doing in school wasn't really monitored well. And also teachers couldn't really figure out what was going on with me in school. So there was this minor perception or whatever that I was gifted. So I think that took the pressure off my parents to worry about me, because anytime I wasn't doing anything, it was because I'm bored because I'm just so intelligent or something like that. But there really wasn't a lot of worry about me or my schooling until it became very obvious that I wasn't going to graduate high school. Then it was kind of like, oh, he's so far gone that why even worry? Like, let's just get him a mop or something. I remember I told my dad I wanted to be a janitor. And there wasn't really any concern with that either, too. So it was kind of like, work as hard or as not hard as you want, but we're going to be happy no matter what. And then what was the other facet of parenting?
How that impacts your parenting.
Oh, I don't know if it has impacted my parenting. I don't know if it was. I wasn't like, in some ways, I guess I'm like, oh, leave them to their own devices until things get bad. But I don't know if it has influenced
me. Well, I think even just you experiencing anxiety, like we talked about it on our last episode, but you're so good at providing comfort and solutions mm-hmm. and coping mechanisms to Lucy when she's going through that kind of thing.
Yeah, I just know expectations are huge for mm-hmm. me with anxiety. So I don't like when somebody thinks I'm going to do really well at something yeah. or I don't particularly like being under a microscope at all.
Yeah.
So I think I can relate to Lucy just because I go through it. And sometimes when I see other people talking to Lucy, I know it's exacerbating her, even though it seems like sound way to be treating mm-hmm. Lou. And the same thing said to Betty wouldn't work for Lucy.
Yeah.
100%. But they would work for Betty. And it's just, it's tricky because sometimes people think there's a one way to talk to all kids.
But well, even me, like I struggle with that every day because one day Lucy likes something or likes me presenting something to her in some way. And then the next day it just causes so much stress. So it's a bit of a game too, I find.
Yeah. And there's no firm handbook. It's just some things. I think the odds are she's going to be really stressed about some things and the odds are she's not going because some things are frivolous to Lucy and she knows there's no pressure on it inherently. So you can act like it's going to be a really big thing. Mm-hmm. Like we're going to go to Disney World. Like that can be a big thing.
Yeah.
But if it's like, it's your big karate tournament today and you're going to win a trophy, then she thinks, oh no, if I don't win the trophy, yeah. that's going to be bad. Or if it's like, you're the smartest kid in school and you got an A, then that scares her. Cause then she's like, what if I get a B?
Well, like even going to the Irish Canadian Club for the St. Patrick's Day celebration, I was like, Lucy, it's so cool. Like it's a real Irish Legion. Like it's going to be so many people celebrating. They're so excited. And she goes, but mommy, we're not Irish. And I said, yeah, but our Irish friends invited us to go with them. So we got the in. And she goes, but are you sure we're going to be allowed? And then she started really freaking out because she thought we were breaking some rules by going.
Yeah.
Because we weren't Irish. But we were invited by people who were members. And it was really freaking her out. So it took her a while to get comfortable there because she thought we were breaking rules.
You want to know all the steps because mm-hmm. you don't want to get in trouble.
Mm-hmm. And our final question that we're going to hit today. So this is, again, from somebody who's been around with this podcast for a while. So we really appreciate it. Me and my husband want to visit Canada next year for the first time. Any recommendations? Canada is huge. Canada is so huge. But I mean, if you got the time, right? Like, don't stress with the landmarks people have built. But Canada is just so known for its natural beauty. If you can somehow go coast to coast, you know, we have the most beautiful mountain ranges on the West Coast. If you like skiing and snowboarding, it's so worth it to go and do that there. And then if you just like hiking and good times and the best people that you'll find anywhere in North America, go to the East Coast. Go hang out in Nova Scotia, Prince Edward Island, Newfoundland. You're going to have a phenomenal time, and there's so much to do. Like, you can spend 2 weeks on the East Coast. You're going to see gorgeous, like, fjords, oceans. You can go swimming, you can go hiking, and you're just going to have a great party.
Yeah, I think, yeah, that would be the best place to go, probably PEI.
Yeah, 100%. Like, Ontario doesn't have that. Like, we got Muskoka, but, I mean, you're going to find that kind of vibe on the West Coast.
Might be cool to see the CN Tower. Toronto's good for that. Just the people aren't as nice as you might think. You might think they're going to be nice because you're just talking to like tour guides and stuff. You're like, oh, Canadians are so nice. But really, if you're just living day-to-day life in Toronto, it's like anywhere else.
Yeah.
It's kind of like weird New York.
You don't get the super nice people until you go on to the East Coast.
Yeah, you go East Coast, they are legitimately really nice.
And you go West Coast and they're very American.
And more chill too. In some ways. Actually, I was in Vancouver and that was weird.
Shane, even the homeless guy threw the money back at me because it wasn't enough money. And it was all I had on me. And he threw it at me.
Yeah, but it's hard with homeless people to...
I'm just saying. I think everybody...
A lot of homeless people aren't that nice because they're going through a lot of stuff.
Of course. But you ask him for money, I give it to him, and then it
It was a quarter, though.
It was all I had.
I know, but that was insulting to him.
Well, I didn't think it would be.
I know that, but I'm saying we can't say the people of Vancouver aren't nice because a homeless guy threw a quarter.
No, but they truly are nice. Here's the thing about my take on Vancouver. If you're from Vancouver, come at me. We'll talk about it. But in my view, it's like there's lots like hippies and they're more chill. And then there's that like super wealthy Vancouverite who likes to give off that they're chill, but they're not. And there's a bit of an air. You know what I mean?
It's expensive in Vancouver,
it's
too.
It's so expensive.
And it rains every 15 minutes.
I know. I know. It's tough. It's tough. But it truly is gorgeous and it is so worth visiting.
Where?
But either coast. Vancouver, I was talking about. But like either coast, I think it is so worth visiting. And I think the whole center, like the prairies got nothing. Ontario's cities. Like if you're a city person, go to Toronto. It is a fun city. But I mean, if you're not a city person, you're a nature person, skip it.
Well, that was probably the best advice they could have ever gotten.
Do you want to go like super north? That's one place I want to go. I've never been northern Canada, like Northwest Territories, Nunavut. Like,
yeah, I kind of like that stuff. I like desolation.
Yeah, I think it could be so fun.
Okay.
All right, folks. Well, that's all we got. That's episode 200. Thank you so much to everyone who hangs out with us. Thank you so much, especially to Little Miss Blondie. We appreciate you. We love you. And everyone else who's here, it has been a heck of a ride and will continue to be.
So if you can give us a rating, we'd appreciate it. But if not, who cares? Anyway, thank you so much for listening to
this Family Tree podcast, episode 200.